Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
Okay, you're a teenage soprano. Who's your idol? Why, Renee Fleming, of course. Today you'll meet an 18-year-old who not only met the great diva, she went to her apartment, sang for her, and had the Donizetti she's going to perform on today's show handpicked by her. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're at the famous amphitheater at the Chautauqua Institution in Chautauqua, New York, where we'll also hear a teenage guitarist perform his own arrangement of Scarlatti. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome, everyone. This is our first time at Chautauqua, and it's wonderful to be on these famous grounds.
Can I help set the scene, Chris?
I hoped you would, Laura. Ladies and gentlemen, this is violinist Laura Park, our first performer.
See, I just love this place. In addition to all the amazing stuff that goes on here, you know, the music, theater, dance, lectures, the resort, they have a music festival in school where I've been spending my summers.
And this is your second year here, right?
Right. And when I got back here this summer, it felt like I'd only been gone for 1 month and not a full year. It's like in a bubble where time has stopped.
Well, it was founded in the 19th century.
I'm not saying it's old in a bad way. It just feels like it has so much history, and like it's in a time capsule where the arts and ideas and religion are celebrated. It's just so peaceful.
True enough. But Laura, describe the amphitheater for us. I mean, this place is huge.
Yeah, it has like 5,000 seats, and it's one of the reasons Chautauqua has been designated a National Historic Landmark, you know?
Well, let's make some noise in this venerable venue. Tell everyone what we're going to play together.
Well, we'll be playing the Tchaikovsky Waltz Scherzo, Opus 34.
Let's take it from the top.
Thank you.
Park, 18 years old, our violinist from Des Plaines, Illinois, performing the Waltz Scherzo by Tchaikovsky. You know, I'm not the biggest Tchaikovsky fan, but I think probably that's his best piece. Or maybe it's just because of the way you play it. That's really extraordinary.
Thank you.
I love that. Love that with you, Laura. Laura, you're such a vivacious and social person. I was surprised to hear that it's hard for you to have a social life.
That's very true. A lot of my friends will be like, oh, Laura, can you hang out this weekend? I'll be like, maybe not this weekend, but why don't you try again next month?
Wow.
I often need like a few weeks advance notice because I'm usually busy with music things.
Well, so. You've got lessons, but also performing. You've had some really high power gigs recently, Cleveland Orchestra, Houston Symphony, and you've won, I'm not exaggerating here, like 20 big deal competitions. But practicing has been a bit of an issue for you.
It used to be, for sure. I think everyone in the audience and all of our listeners know what I'm talking about when I say I didn't always like to practice. It felt like a chore to me when I was younger, and to me, I just didn't enjoy it. It felt like something I had to do, and I didn't know why I was doing it. And I grew to love it because I noticed that whenever I would perform on stage, perform a concerto with a wonderful symphony in a beautiful dress or something like that, that was the happiest moment of my life.
That's the real experience, yeah, for you.
And to obtain such opportunities or to even be able to enjoy them requires practice.
True.
So then I found out that, it's not such a bad thing after all. I can't say I love it, but, it's necessary and I enjoy it a lot more.
Well, clearly the hard work has paid off. Tell everyone where you're going to be going to school next year and who you'll be studying with there.
In the fall, I will be entering the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia to study with Ida Kavafian.
Very good. Congratulations.
Thank
that's
you.
That's a hard won place. Laura, in conversation with you, something came up about, how some people feel that classical music is sort of a dying art form, and you don't feel that way.
I don't at all. I know a lot of people are worried about, classical music dying out. It's not being popular anymore, but I think any of the problems that orchestras are having are due to the economy, and everyone is getting affected by that. And what I really see is those little kids who are walking around holding these tiny little violin cases and these tiny little cello cases and so enthusiastic about going to weekly lessons and so enthusiastic about learning music and participating in competitions, and just a record number of kids who are continuing to learn music, and I think that's our future right there.
Well, you're the future. You're at the crest of that wave. You're running the wave, Laura. It's fantastic just playing with you and hearing you, and all the best next year at Curtis. Great having
Thank
you with
you.
Us. Laura Park, 18-year-old violinist from Des Plaines, Illinois, and off now to the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia.
We have great photos of Laura and all of today's performers, as well as video from our rehearsal, so you can see these amazing kids in action. Go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer today is an outstanding 18-year-old guitarist, so outstanding that he won the 2011 Guitar Foundation of America International Youth Competition and this summer's Andre Segovia International Competition in Germany. Please welcome, from Arlington, Minnesota, Javier Jara. Javier, you're going to play a sonata by Domenico Scarlatti, his sonata in D, K53, a piece originally written for the harpsichord. Please tell us how you came to play it on the guitar.
Yeah, well, I guess the first one to do the arrangement was a guy named Thomas Filoteau, who was a student of my teacher in Paris. And I heard his arrangement, and I thought it was so incredible that I went to my teacher and asked him if I could play it, and he just gave me the harpsichord score and said, "Here you go, do it yourself." You know.
Yeah. Well, you've come to own this piece, as far as I'm concerned. We're looking forward to it. It's so impressive in your hands. The stage is yours, Javier.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Javier Jara, 18-year-old guitarist from Arlington, Minnesota, playing the sonata in D, K-53 by Domenico Scarlatti. Javier, that piece is butter in your hands. It's just beautiful. It's just fantastic.
Thanks.
And you get so much variety of color. I see you moving your picking hand up and down the strings, closer to the bridge, away from the bridge. That's usually a major negotiation for a lot of guitarists, but I see you just moving so fluidly. Fluid is absolutely the word. Just a gorgeous performance.
Thank you.
Javier, there are two sides to your personal story, the farm in Minnesota and Paris.
How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? How you gonna keep them away from...
Okay, so tell us about the Paris connection first. What are you doing there?
Well, there's a guitar teacher that I really admired a lot who's in Paris. And he was coming to Minneapolis to play a concert. So I kept bugging him on through emails on Facebook, you know, bugging him until finally he cracked and decided to give me a lesson. And he ended up liking my playing, so things turned out for the best, and here we are.
So you're studying there over in Paris with him. Tell us your teacher's name so we can...
It's Judicao Pewa.
Very good. And he must have been really impressed with you. I mean, he agreed to do more than just take you on as a student. I guess to live in Paris, he had to take care of a lot of logistics for you.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff with, you know, paperwork and everything. Because if you're a foreigner, then you know that to own an apartment in Paris, you need to have, to rent an apartment in Paris, you need to have a French bank account. And to get a French bank account, you need an apartment in Paris. So I've had to use his bank account, you know, on several occasions. He's nice enough to lend me a few some money.
I hope this doesn't turn into the talented Mr. Ripley and you're going to rip off your teacher. You know, you seem like a responsible young man. You won't run out on him.
I think so.
Okay, good. So you must have spent all of your spare time there in Paris exploring the history, the architecture, the art, the food.
Well, I mean, yes and no. Mostly no. Well, right now, next year, I'm going to Paris Conservatory. Mm-hmm. And so the audition process for this was, you know, really hectic, you know, 7 or 8 required pieces. Really took up a lot of my time and the months before that. And I didn't really see anything of Paris until some friends of mine came in March from the U.S. And then I finally saw Paris.
So you could be a tourist with them, finally.
Yes.
Very good. When you go back, please promise me that you're going to get out more.
Yes,
absolutely. It's the most beautiful city.
How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris?
So now tell us about the farm in your life.
Well, a few years ago, we moved to Arlington, Minnesota, you know, about an hour and a half southwest of Minneapolis. And because it's something that my mom has always wanted to do, she's always wanted to have an organic, self-sustaining farm. So we moved out there and, you know, we have cows, sheep, turkeys, goats, whatever.
Did the chickens always lay their eggs where you want them to, or do they sort of show up in odd places now and again?
That's true. They didn't always lay their eggs where we wanted to.
I mean,
sometimes they'd show up, you know, here and there in the grass. You'd find an egg. It'd be...
Got to watch where you're walking.
Exactly.
Well, the cows, too, for that matter.
They're pretty good most of the time.
Yeah. So what kind of chores are you responsible for on the farm?
Well, since I've been gone for the last year, you know, I haven't done much since I got back, but I've helped clean out the barn, which is a very dirty business.
Also, especially when it gets really hot in the summertime.
Oh,
it must
yes.
be really pleasant.
Yes, it gets really humid, hot. Yeah. It's horrible.
And you take part of this in the slaughtering, and also I understand, you know, the plucking of the chickens is
yeah.
your job.
Well, my sister and I, we had to pluck chickens as when my mom slaughtered them, and it took about the whole day to do about 14 chickens. I don't know if we just weren't doing it right, but it was so difficult. It took so long, and we just went online and bought a, you know, electronic plucker.
Chicken plucker.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
great.
we didn't really know that we could do that, but...
How enterprising.
Yeah, it works much better that way. You know, 5 minutes, just...
So, Javier, what's in your future, a career in Europe or back at the farm?
Well, I'm not completely sure yet. I mean, the instant future, I'll be spending the next 3 years at Paris Conservatory. Mm-hmm. And after that, I don't know if I'll continue studying Europe. I've been thinking about Holland. It's kind of a nice place for me. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I'll go back to the U.S. or if I'll stay there.
Well, it sounds like you've got all the plucking covered very nicely. And we wish you well in all your pursuits. And it was great having you on today, Javier.
Thank you.
Thank you. Javier Jara, 18-year-old guitarist from rural Minnesota, just now heading back to Paris. The young soprano up next comes from pretty close by. How far away is your town from Chautauqua, Emily?
About 2.5 hours, maybe a little less.
This is 18-year-old Emily Hellenbrook, and the town we're talking about is Alexander, New York. Emily, you're going to sing from Donizetti's opera, Linda de Chamonix. Tell us which aria you're going to sing, and then give us a little background. What's going on in this aria?
Sure. I will be singing O Luce di Quest'anima. Linda is rushing off to meet her lover, Carlo, and so she's in a hurry, and she finally gets to their favorite secret meeting place, and she just missed him. But the good lover that he is, he left flowers for her. And so she reflects on their love, saying that he is the radiance and light of her soul, and that they will forever be united on earth and in heaven.
Quest'anima, amor di vita e vita.
18 years old, from Alexandria, New York, singing O Luci di Quest'Anima from the opera Linda di Chamonix by Gaetano Donizetti. That was just plain stunning, Emily.
Thank you.
I'm so privileged to know you when, okay? you can really feel the enjoyment when you sing that. You like this particular piece quite a bit, yeah?
Oh, yes. It's my favorite piece, and I sing it quite a bit, yes.
Oh, you sing it like it's your favorite piece.
Yeah.
And the day it was suggested that you learn this particular aria was a pretty good day, I understand.
Yes, I would rate it as one of the best days of my life.
That's what I heard. And it actually had something to do with this rather well-known singer.
Yes.
Well, I believe that's Renee Fleming.
It is.
How did she figure in a central way to the best day of your life?
Okay, first I will start with the fact that I studied with Patricia Alexander at the Eastman Community Music School, who is Renee Fleming's mother. My mom and I decided that we were going to see Renee in Armida at the Met, and that was actually a clip of her in Armida. And that was the exact same production, and it was amazing. But the day before, we got a call. I was in the hotel room, and I was asked to come to her penthouse, and she asked if I would like to help her with something. And so, of course, I went to her penthouse, and what happened was I got to sing for her for about 3 hours and got a personal master class, and it was taped by the CBS Sunday Morning Show.
Oh, gosh. Yes. So the cameras were rolling on
yes,
top of everything
were rolling,
else.
Yes, they were rolling, yeah. And so at the very end, she sat down at her kitchen table and she jotted down a bunch of repertoire I should look at, and O Luci di Quest'Anima was at the top of the list. So I went home and I learned it immediately. So
wow.
I've been singing it since.
That's great. Well, you didn't start out as a young girl loving opera. That's from an old family VHS, I understand. And that's you singing at age, how old were you?
7.
Wow.
That was my first performance ever of all time. Yes, if only you could see it. I was sitting on this little dinky piano, and I was dressed as Dorothy, and we even made our own red slippers the night before, and my leg was shaking like this the whole time.
Scared.
And I was so nervous, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But it was really special. My twin brother, he played on the piano, and he was dressed as the scarecrow. And my older brother was dressed as the lion, and he played the flute in the beginning, and he even had a mane on. So it was great.
Gosh, that lion hair in the embouchure can be kind of problematic. So you've had some great musical influences, it's clear, but maybe the greatest was the one most close to home. Here's a home recording of him.
Thank you.
Tell everyone who that is.
That is my grandpa. His name is Matthew Tworek, and we call him Dziadzia, which is Polish for grandpa. He's currently 92 years old, and he just stopped playing a few years ago, actually. He played with the Buffalo Philharmonic for over 60 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you heard him in concert, and it sounds very much like he puts a lot of heart into his music. Is that one of the main inspirations you got from him?
Oh, definitely, yeah. What I learned from him was never to go to a performance or do a performance without loving entirely what you do. He could take a piece that he maybe didn't really like and make it his own, and he never went on stage without loving it.
Paint the picture of Dziadzia's colorful personality, you know, his hair and then
yeah.
Things like that.
Well, he is very hunched over from all his years of playing the violin. He looks basically like Albert Einstein, and he has this kind of mad scientist hair. He'd be really mad at me for saying that because, his hair is an important thing to him. Mm-hmm. But I hope he doesn't hear that. he has this amazing smile where his eyes sort of disappear into his head and they become these little crescents and it just lights up the room. And also he has the best quotes ever.
What stories could you tell us from your grandfather?
I don't know, but he always, I don't want to tell that story. There's...
It's public radio.
Yeah,
we have our limits.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah. You took piano lessons from Dziadzia. What was that like?
It often was quite brutal. He was very harsh, and he was not forgiving at all. Sometimes we'd sit on the piano bench for 3 hours straight, and he would yell at you if you kind of checked the time. You're like, what are you checking the time for? Are you in a hurry or something? And so he would always get mad, but I really owe a lot to him. I learned to be very prepared, and I learned that rhythm is so important, and that's what he always drove home with me.
And I understand, you know, a lot of your teachers since then have, you know, always been, I hope I'm not being too hard on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I always use this line, you know, of course you're not being too harsh. You can never be too harsh, because I have survived the Dziadzia.
You're a teacher yourself, in a way, though I believe gentler than Dziadzia, and you bring opera to your friends, to your peers. How do you get them to open up to it?
I think that opera is... The problem with it is, for young people, is the language barrier. So what I think is really important is to either explain the piece or to have a translation, or basically just to show them through the music the emotion you're trying to convey, and that composer... intended for that emotion and hundreds of years ago, and I think it's amazing. And what I try to explain is that what is so amazing about classical music is that it's not only hearing it or seeing it, it's experiencing it with everyone else, and that's really what I love about it.
It's very nice of you to step across the footlights and give them that leg up, but I'm sure at the first moment they hear your voice, they're just agape and willing to listen to sing anything, as we are. Really an honor to have you, Emily.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Emily Helen Brook, 18-year-old soprano from Alexander, New York.
For anyone convinced that classical music is dead, Nick Romeo's book Driven is refreshing proof to the contrary, says the New York Phil's Glenn Dichterow. Follow 6 From the Top alums as they make their way in the music world. Pick it up at fromthetop.org/driven.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. This week, we're coming to you from the amphitheater at the Chautauqua Institution in Chautauqua, New York. Coming up, a 13-year-old pianist from Los Angeles performs one of the great showpieces of Franz Liszt. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Today's show at the Chautauqua Music Festival is made possible by the Chautauqua Institution, founded in 1874 and presenting programming in the arts, education, religion, and recreation each summer for 9 weeks. Special thanks to Denton, Cotier, and Daniels Pianos and Organs. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. And now, new music performed by the composer himself. Please welcome, from San Francisco, California, 17-year-old composer and pianist Franz Zhao. Franz, I should mention you're a recipient of one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. Congratulations there. Very nicely done. Will you introduce the young woman standing next to you? She looks familiar.
This is Alexandra Switala. She's playing violin in my piece.
Great to have you back with us on the show, Allie. Allie's an alum of our show from way back. You performed with us first, Allie, when you were how old?
I was 12 years old.
And now here you are, all grown up, 18. When we knew we needed a great young violinist for Franz's piece, we remembered that you've been spending your summers here at the Chautauqua Music Festival. Who are you studying with here?
I actually study with the same teacher that Laura Park, the first violinist that you heard, studies with. We both study with Roland and Almida Vemos.
Franz, tell everyone the name of your piece.
My piece is entitled Ideas.
You sort of joke about how nondescript that name is.
Yeah, it's kind of pathetic, but...
No, it's not!
I've tried looking for a better name, but
this one works.
Yeah.
Well, it started out as sort of a composition exercise and sort of grew inspirationally after that.
Yeah, and the title actually fits the work. It essentially is a bunch of ideas compiled together and molded into a concerto-esque piece.
So. Good. Allie, what has the process of learning Franz's piece been like?
It's been really fun, actually. It was quite a challenge to learn the notes. I mean, it's very difficult, but once I got that all down, it actually fits into the hands very nicely. It was completely a violinistic piece. It's just amazing. And after that, the music just poured out of the piece itself. It's just so well written, and I'm so happy and honored to be playing it with Franz. Well, he's not a bad guy himself, either.
He's a
nice guy.
We're looking forward to hearing you two play. This is Ideas by Franz Zhao.
Thank you. 17-year-old composer and pianist Franz Zhao from San Francisco and 18-year-old violinist Alexandra Svitala from Grapevine, Texas, performing Franz's piece, Ideas. Thanks, Allie. Great to have you with us again. Franz, you've been composing for a long time. In fact, we have a priceless recording of a radio interview you gave on KQED in San Francisco as a composer at the age of 8. And Franz, I want to personally thank you for giving us permission to play this clip, even though you made it abundantly clear it embarrasses you tremendously.
Franz is 8. He seems to be having a hard time standing still talking about his music.
I have to make some interesting melodies because I had about a million melodies in my head that I had to play every single one on the piano, and then I finally decided this one.
Well, Franz, nicely done. And really, thank you. That was pretty embarrassing. Just as entertaining as that was your inspiration for the early piece you were being interviewed about, something about a screensaver.
The inspiration for that piece came from my dad's screensaver, which depicted a cat playing a guitar, singing, "Love to eat the mousies. Mousies are what I love to eat. Bite their little heads off and nibble on their tiny feet." So, yeah.
That's one of the lines for one of those classic cat cartoons by B. Kleban from the 60s. You can't be imagining that you remembered that. It's probably from your dad's screensaver.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm happy to hear that you're just as much of a cat fanatic as I am, if not more so. Very sophisticated taste for an 8-year-old, I'm going to say. And now at the age of 17, your taste is still sophisticated. You like some pretty unusual music.
Yeah, one of my favorite pieces is George Crumb's Black Angels, specifically the first movement, Night of the Electric Insects.
Hmm. Do you listen to that a lot on your iPod? Or? What?
Oh, yeah. I also use it as my alarm clock. So.
Oh, okay. That's hardcore. I love that. A teenager who uses George Crumb as an alarm clock. That'll get you out of bed. You know, Franz, there is an app for that.
There is?
Yes. I've got it right here on my iPhone. It's an alarm clock app that wakes you up to strange classical sounds. Look, check it out. It's called Avant-Garde Get Up and Go.
Nice.
It'll wake you up with your favorite piece. That'll do it. It'll give you nightmares on the way out, too. Or how about this ligeti?
Never heard that before, but what a great alarm.
Exactly. Or I love this. That's Meredith Monk at her most out there. That's even better than a venti at Starbucks to get you out of bed.
Avant-garde, get up and go. That is so cool.
Franz, it would be cooler still if it really existed.
Aww.
But maybe you should develop it.
Maybe.
It's all yours. We know you're going to do something much more than develop an annoying alarm clock app. You're just a wonderful composer and a wonderful pianist as well. And it was so great to have your piece on our program. All the best to you, Franz. Franz Zhao, 17 years old, from San Francisco, California.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
We've got one of the great pieces of Franz Liszt to end our show today, and to play it, our youngest performer of the day and another Jack Kent Cook young artist. Please welcome, from Los Angeles, 13-year-old Ho Jun Kim. Ho Jun, our audience is about to find out what a superb young pianist you are, but they'll be even more surprised to learn that piano isn't the way you see your future. I mean, at the age of 13, you've already got strong ideas about what sort of life you want to pursue.
So, that's true. I do not want to play the piano and as my career. Rather, I want to major in law, become a lawyer, but not practice law. Instead, go to politics and then go to international affairs and then be someone with a career that could help people who are in need and that could solve problems in the need of crisis if that occurs.
Sounds more like a mandate than just some sort of 5-year plan there. There is sort of one person already on the international stage who you particularly admire. This sounds sort of modeled after him. Tell him.
I look up to Ban Ki-moon, if you know him. He's the UN Security General currently, and the thing I like about him is because he started in South Korea as a person who manages the international law. Country affairs, and South Korea is a small country, but he became the first South Korean to become a person of such an high honor in the UN and who could help the world, and I think that's great.
The number one diplomat in the world, but Ban Ki-moon can't play the piano like you, I've got to say. Will you please introduce the piece you're going to play to take us out?
I would like to play the Hungarian Rhapsody No. 12 in C-sharp minor, by Franz Liszt.
A powerhouse end to our program. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for joining us and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Ho Jun, please take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with David Forbes and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent, nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at GatesFoundation.org. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, FromTheTop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.